Welcome to the Gopher Harmony Shalom Bayis teleconference. I hope everyone listened to the introduction. The introduction can be accessed through an online link. You can request an online link to the Gopher Harmony Billing Department by calling or texting 917-600-4386 or emailing gopherharmonybilling@gmail.com. You can also access the introduction on the hotline number and press option 2. What I'm going to teach you in this teleconference is a practical and effective approach to Shalom Bayis. Gopher Harmony teleconference was created to help women gain the coping skills and the relationship skills necessary to be a successful wife and mother. What I'm trying to do is to give every lady the tools she needs to create more emotional safety, which creates a stronger emotional connection, which is the recipe for a thriving marriage and a happy home. The focus here is not just on marriage, it's on you. Because you won't be able to implement the ideas on this teleconference unless you have a healthy sense of self and you have Simchas Chaim. My goal here with this teleconference is to help you achieve that. A mother is the stability of her home. If that stability is compromised, then the whole family suffers. I hope to help you gain more emotional intelligence and improve your ability to cope. Today, women have so many responsibilities. We have to be successful in so many areas. We juggle high expectations in domestic responsibilities, in health, in clothing our children, parnasa, chinuch. The frum world has been infiltrated by non-Yiddish hashkafos that have been widely accepted in our communities. Some of the messages that are anti-Torah hashkafa create a culture of labeling, judgment, and criticism in our relationships. What I attempt to do is to counter that with teaching an outlook of Amunah and Betachon and the Torah perspective on marriage and Esyainis, helping women accept and make the best of their situations. The program has received Haskamas from Gedalim, and an organization called Biyachad was created by a group of Rabbanim to endorse Gopher Harmony services. The Rabbanim include Rabbi Zion Kokis Shlita, Rabbi Forschleimer Shita, and Rabbi Jacob Shlita. The teleconference is a must for every Jewish woman who wants to become her best self and become closer to Hashem and bring out her relationships best. Please help me spread the word. Gopher Harmony recognizes that in order to change Midos ingrained personality traits, a woman needs support. Gopher Harmony offers an anonymous support group through text in which women can gain clarity and support 24/7. If you are interested in gaining access to the group, please reach out by calling or texting 917-600-4386, and you can also email. The way we respond and think are habits that we created by doing the same thing over and over again. We have created strong neural pathways. In order to create new habits and strengthen new neural pathways, in order to think and feel and respond differently, we need a lot of support. Many participants share with me that the group text is a place that they learn how to implement what they're learning in the teleconference. The immediate support is what helps them create new habits that enrich their lives. I want to thank each of you for joining me tonight. Thank you for trusting me and joining me on this incredible journey of creating harmony within you and harmony in your home. Chazal say, "Shetehei chaviv abala kal sha kibashas knisa l'chupa." That you should be desired to your husband all the time, like when you first enter the chuppah. Usually in the beginning of a relationship, there's a strong level of attraction. This isn't always the case, but very often it is. The relationship feels exciting, and then as life goes on and the marriage goes on, things change. Things feel more dull and not as exciting. There are many ways that we change that are wonderful. But many times, we're just not the same people we're not the same person that has been brought under the chuppah. Let's think about who we were when we first got married. Maybe we were more naive. Maybe we were easier to please, more fun, more independent, more spontaneous, and it's going to vary for everyone. Because of your responsibilities and challenges, as life goes on, you may have forgotten about how to be fun and light, how to have simchas achayim. The first step to be a happy person is to make sure that you have simchas achayim. That's the first step to have a happy marriage. Your husband was very attracted to you when you were that young girl that was so full of life. What would it be like to become more of who you were? Of course, the good parts. What would it be like to turn the clock back to the beginning of your relationship? Maybe you can become light and happy again, and you can be desired by your husband like the day you enter the chuppah. Kibishas knisa l'chuppah. Some of us thought that once we get married, it would become our husband's responsibility to make us happy. That way is a recipe for disaster. Marriage can feel like one big burden to your husband, who has a huge job of making his wife happy, if that's at all possible. It's also really sad for the wife, because she has to depend on him for her happiness. It doesn't work. So if your husband is not in charge and responsible of making you happy, then who is? And the answer is, you are. How do you become a happy person? By nurturing your guf, your nefesh, which is nurturing your body and your spirit, and of course your neshama. Happiness is an internal state. It does not depend on external circumstances. If you in the Torah, and you hear stories of people that went through so many challenges, and they came out of their challenges happy. Happiness is not the absence of struggle. We all struggle. Adam la'amal yulad. We were put into this world to struggle, to work on ourselves. Struggles are a means to help us perfect ourselves and become the best we can be. So we're made up of three parts. The Ramchal says that a person has a nefesh bahamias, and a nefesh elokus. The nefesh bahamias, which we're going to just refer to as the nefesh, which is our emotional health, then the nefesh elokus is the neshama. And the third part is our guf, our body. All three parts are our partners in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our mission in life is to use our body, our nefesh, and our neshama to serve Hashem. And we need to have a healthy guf and a healthy nefesh to make the right choices. So we know what it means to nurture our bodies, to nurture our guf. We all have some knowledge of what that looks like. We have some medical knowledge. We know about having a good diet. We know what it means to get enough sleep. But what is the nefesh? So the nefesh is our emotional world, all our feelings. And the nefesh needs a lot of attention and care. It has a lot of needs. It needs love. It needs respect. It needs covet. It needs positive relationship. It needs to be flooded with positivity and warmth for our nefesh, for our spirit, our emotional health, to be healthy and happy. Just as the body needs food to live, the nefesh also needs the right type of nourishment. If someone receives the wrong type of nourishment, lots of criticism, for example, it damages the nefesh because the nefesh didn't receive the encouragement and the recognition that it craves, and it can cause terrible damage. The nefesh never changes. A child's nefesh is the same nefesh as an adult. A child has the same needs as an adult. The only difference is that an adult has intellect. That's why an adult will appear different. An adult will act differently than a child. A child would be more impulsive and have no tact because he lacks intellect. As he grows older, he will become more adult-like, but it's not because his needs are different. A child and an adult has the same nefesh, the same needs, emotional needs. It's only the intellect that changes. The neshama, the nefesh elokus, is ruchnius. It's our will to do the right thing, to make the right choices. It's what draws us to become closer to Hashem. The Kuzari says that our neshama, when it's in its healthiest state, hungers for ruchnius, for shacharis, mincha, and marav, like our physical body, hungers for breakfast, supper, and lunch. So what does that mean for us to take care of our neshamos? How do we nurture our neshama? And obviously, as women, it's not with shacharis, mincha, and marav. Of course, davening and shiurim are important, but that is not a woman's focus. The reason ladies are putter from most mitzvah sasesh's man grama is not simply because we're too busy with our homes and our children. It's because our neshamos don't need these mitzvos to be fulfilled spiritually. We don't need mitzvos in order to feel ruchnius. Our ruchnius is taking care of the house and our children, our homes and our children. A sefer, the Mishnah Berurah talks about a sefer, that a sefer can be either doing his job, writing Sifrei Torah and Mezuzos, Tefillin, and it's considered like he's doing his job. He's doing a good thing. He's doing, but it's a business. He's doing his business. Or he can be Isaac b'mitzvah the entire time. And that has halachic ramifications where he wouldn't be obligated in other mitzvahs because he's Isaac b'mitzvahs. So what is it that makes a difference between a sefer being doing his job or a sefer being Osik b'mitzvah? And the Mishnah Berurah says it depends on rov kavanaso. It depends on how his intentions. If more of his intentions are that he's thinking about doing the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he's being Isaac b'mitzvah a whole day. We also could be Isaac b'mitzvah a whole day. The Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm min trachnisht, has min kai tamnisht." If we don't think, then there's no time, there's no taste. We have to think about the value of what we're doing. If we don't think, there's no taste to anything we're doing. A mother who cares for her children from morning to night, she smiles, she listens, she disciplines, she talks, she diapers, she washes, she bathes, she cooks, she does laundry. We're amazing. Do we stop to think about what we're doing, the value of our actions, how special and amazing we are? We are the physical and spiritual force behind our children and our family and our husbands. A mother is a pillar of strength for her family. David HaMelech says, one of the greatest Nevi'im, and Ovdei Hashem said, Ve'im ha'imaos asher amadata imam echbada. If I merit to be with the imahos, this is Drush, if I merit to be with the imahos in Gan Eden, with the mothers, I'll be honored. That's the highest level in Olam Haba. So how do we access the ruchnius in our day-to-day lives? How are we Isaac b'mitzvah in our day-to-day lives? How do we nurture our neshama, be fulfilled in a ruchnius way? We nurture our neshamos by when we realize that everything we do is a mitzvah. The whole list that I just listed that women do, that mothers do, that wives do, they're all mitzvos. If we are mechavin, that we are doing mitzvahs all day, then we are elevating the gashmias into ruchnias. I'm working so hard to help my husband learn. I'm changing his diaper. What a chesed. I'm helping the child with homework so he can grow to be a Talmud Chacham. You get to nurture your neshama a whole day by having the right kavanos. Women don't need lots of mitzvos, like men. We don't need shachris, mincha, and marv, because we're already connected to spirituality, even in our mundane tasks. That focus, it nurtures our neshamos, our nefesh elokos, and brings happiness. The work of Shalom Bayis, creating Shalom Bayis, the work of our work in our own homes, is Kodesh Kedashim. We are constantly having to be Mavra al Midosav. So much of our days is working on our Midos. We're such an example. We try to be such an example. We're creating Doris of Yiddish and Achas. And there's nothing more Kaddish than that. So just thinking about what you're doing, that's nurturing your neshama. And channeling all the Gashmias into Ruchnias by our thoughts is so powerful to being happier and being able to have more Simchas Achayim. The Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem that both the needs of the nefesh and the guf must be satisfied in order to elevate and purify the nefesh and guf. We have to satisfy its needs so that it can be partners in the service of Hashem. So we just spoke about nurturing the neshama. And so too, we have to nurture our nefesh and our guf. Its needs have to be satisfied and to some degree in order to be to use our whole body to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The body and the nefesh should not be perceived as a negative entity. They are partners in serving Hashem. And therefore, we cannot look at the needs of our body or their emotional needs as negative, because we need them to serve Hashem. They are tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to serve Him, to be our best selves and to reach our tafkid in this world, to become an Adam Shalim. Hashem created the world to enjoy. Hashem wants us to be happy and find pleasure in this world. Chazal say that a nazir has to bring a karban chatas because he needs a kapara, because he deprived himself. We are not supposed to deprive ourselves. This is not Yiddishkeit. This is a Christian mentality. We have to nourish ourselves, our body, and our spirit so that we can be Ovid Hashem. In this way, when we take good care of ourselves, we can do Ratzon Hashem. Some people tend to think that taking care of themselves is selfish. This is anything but selfish. It's elevating our guf and our nefesh. When we do it for the right reasons, we're given the ability to listen to our nishmas chayim, to choose to do what Hashem wants. A person who neglects himself, either his nefesh, his guf, then his nekudas habechira, his ability to choose what's right, will diminish. He will have a much harder time responding in relationship with dignity and respect. And in all your relationships, in life in general, you're going to have a harder time making the right choices if you neglect yourself. We have to nurture ourselves. We have to know ourselves very well, and we have to nurture ourselves so that we can make ourselves happy. Happiness comes from filling a need. In the Gemara it says, Ein semcha b'lo achila ushtia, that there is no happiness without eating and drinking. Chazal say, what does that mean? It means that we need to fill a need in order to be happy. In order to be happy, we have to be filling our needs. Both, all our needs are the needs of the guf, the needs of the nefesh. Our physical and emotional needs have to be met in order to experience happiness. Imagine someone eating ice cream in an ice cream shop while sitting and schmoozing with a friend. So she's clearly filling a physical need, the need to eat something sweet. She's enjoying it. And she's also filling an emotional need. She's feeling her need for social interaction. However, she's unhappy because in her mind she's full of guilt. She's thinking about how she left her baby to go enjoy herself. She feels so guilty. How could I have left him? How could I have left him to go sit in the store with a friend and eat ice cream? I'm such a bad mother. She's thinking about how she yelled at her child that morning. She's full of criticism. Her thoughts are destroying her nefesh. She's neglecting her nefesh. So she may have nurtured her guf, but she's not going to be happy because she didn't nurture her nefesh. In order to have Simchas Chaim, there's two parts to it. You need to nurture your nefesh and your guf. You need to think thoughts that are good for you, to know your limitations, the limitations of your nefesh and your guf, your emotional and physical limitations. You need to do things that you enjoy. And you also need to, you need to be aware of what you enjoy, do things you enjoy, make yourself happy, own your happiness. And you also need to be aware of your emotional health, of your thoughts. Before we continue this topic, I want to preface it with the words of the Rambam. Kavana lios ha'adam tivi, that a person should try to be a normal person. Our mission is to be a normal person. Holech b'derech ha'emtzai, to try to go in the way of moderation, the middle path. That we should be eating and drinking in moderation. Of course, this topic can be taken to an extreme. Someone can take it as permission to overindulge, to spend a lot of time having fun, or to buy themselves a lot of things. And of course, Chas V'Shalom, that is not the intention of this class. Every person has a different derech ha'emtzai, has a different middle path. As long as you're taking care of yourself, you're nurturing yourself, as long as it's making you a better person, a better Ovid Hashem, and because you're happy, you're able to be a better mother and wife, you know you're on the right path. But if Chas V'Shalom, it's taking you away from being a good Ovid Hashem, and you're not able to be a better mother and wife, so you know that it's overindulgence. The Chazon Ish talks about, in Sefer Amunah V'Tachon, he talks about a concept called Mechonas Ha'adam, that people are like machines. Mechonas Ha'adam. The same way that a machine needs a car, that a machine, like a car, needs gas, or it needs different things to run, people also have needs. And if we neglect those needs, then we can't function well, and we can't run. And if we can't run, we're not a mensch. And if we're not a mensch, we certainly can't be an Ovid Hashem. So nurturing yourself is anything but selfish. Sometimes the most selfless thing that you can do is to be selfish. David HaMelech says, "Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha." It's a chiyuv to be happy. Pirkei Avos says, "Having mekabel as kal adam b'sefer panim yafos," we're supposed to greet everyone with a smile. What bigger avaida is there for us women, mothers and wives of Klal Yisrael, to do our avaida b'simcha? It's our happiness that creates a happy home. And when we have a happy home, we have healthy children. And that's definitely our stadlis in order to give nachas to Hashem. It says in V'zayis HaBracha, "Naftali sevar ratzon umali brechas Hashem." Naphtali was satisfied and content and filled with the blessings of Hashem. The Mefarshim say, it can be translated, only when you are happy, that is when you experience Hashem's brachos. Now, many times, there are many, you know, people think this mistaken idea. They think that I should not be focused on myself. Maybe there are yechidim in every generation that can be happy just by focusing on others. But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you know that you have to take good care of yourself to be happy and have the resources you need to build your relationship. Someone might say, I don't really have this need to do nice things for myself. It's not important for me to take good care of myself. And there's three reasons that someone could say this. I have heard, I speak to ladies. I coach. Most of my day is spent on the phone with women, and husbands actually, and wives. And I have heard women say that, you know what, I don't need to focus on myself. I don't think it's ruchnius. And usually, it's because one of these three reasons. Either you're already filled up, you're already taking good care of yourself, you're already happy, your needs are already being met, so you don't feel the lack. Or that person just doesn't know themselves. She's not in touch with herself. Maybe she's depressed. She's not in touch with her inner world, and she doesn't know what she needs. And that really affects her emotional health. And therefore, she might have this mistaken idea that she doesn't have to take care of herself. Or, the third reason really is not applicable to us. It is possible to reach a level, like the Gedolim, that Ruchnius fills them up, that they have no other needs. That there is no lack. They don't need any gashmius for happiness because they're completely filled up with ruchnius. But that is not a madrega that we're on. Picture yourself coming back from a trip to Eretz Yisrael. You filled yourself up with gashmius, with ruchnius. You went to the Kaisel, to Kivrei Tzadikim, to get brachas. You went to Yam HaMelech. You ate and enjoyed delicious food, and you enjoyed the sights of Eretz Yisrael, the beautiful sights. When you come home, you feel so energized. You feel relaxed and restored, and you can take on life's challenges. You don't have to take a vacation to get the same results. By focusing on nurturing yourself, by doing some things that you enjoy, by making sure that the needs of your nefesh are met, then you can master this state of being. So, now let's talk about the most important way that we need to nurture ourselves. Before we can enjoy a physical experience, like the example I gave you a few minutes ago about the lady in an ice cream store eating ice cream with a friend, but not being able to enjoy that physical experience, we have to address our emotional needs, our emotional health, the nefesh, the needs of the nefesh. Because you can't enjoy physical experiences without having good emotional health. So now, what contributes to emotional health? There's a lot of things that contribute, but we're going to focus on something very, very important that contributes to emotional health. That is our thoughts. Our thoughts contribute to our happiness. When you have positive and happy thoughts, you'll be happier, and that will definitely affect your emotional health positively. It's so important to work on our emotional health so that we're kind and gentle and accepting and loving of ourselves, because only then can we feel good about ourselves. You have to love yourself in order to love others. You can either fill your head with loving thoughts that are helpful to you, or you can think thoughts that are damaging and that can literally complicate your life. It's about what you say to yourself in your head that will help you have the ability to feel happy. Hashem loves us. He created us the way we are, the good and the bad. All our midos, all our character traits, are tools to help us reach our tafkid in this world. Hashem loves our whole selves. He loves the good and the bad in us, more than we can ever imagine. Meaning he's the one who gave us our weaknesses and our strengths. And Hashem loves us despite our weaknesses. Bishvili nevra ha'olam. Hashem created the world for us because He loves us so much. And the reason He gave us weaknesses is because He loves us. He wants us to get Olam Haba. He wants us to work hard and perfect ourselves and get Olam Haba. So if Hashem accepts us, we need to love and accept ourselves. We have to tell ourselves daily that I'm the beloved daughter of Hashem and Hashem loves me. The Baal HaTanya says in Hilchos Tshuva that if you think about things that you're doing wrong and it's bringing you to depression, then it's the Yetzahara. You only should be thinking about constructive ways to improve. You should not be upset at yourself for your weaknesses and mistakes. We're not allowed to have a negative perspective of ourselves. As I said, Hashem is the one who gave us the bad midos to begin with, these bad tools. He made us far from perfection, and that's why we're in this world. If we were perfect, we wouldn't have to be here. And Hashem understands our struggles. Hashem knows what He gave us. Thinking negatively about ourselves doesn't help us improve. It doesn't help us do our job in this world to perfect ourselves. In this world, we're very accustomed to measuring success by results. All we care about is how rich someone is, how well someone does, you know, someone's marks. We don't measure success by effort. But in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's effort that's what counts. And Olam Haba, it's effort that's what's important. So let's say you tried a whole day to be calm and patient with your children, and you handled so many crises calmly and patiently, and your children were nagging you all day, and you have a lot of young children, and you were attending to your children's physical needs, and for most of the day you were doing great, you were smiling, you were pretty calm. Then all of a sudden, one of your children come home, throws a big tantrum as he's walking through the door, and then you just lose it at him. And then you tell yourself, I'm such a failure. I did it again. I was trying to be calm and happy and relaxed all day. And now look, I didn't succeed. I'm a failure. Remember, effort is success. As long as you're trying your best, you can feel that you're a success. The investment of energy, your intention, the effort, that's what counts. Even if you lost it at the end, you can look at yourself and you can look at the whole day and say, wow, I was calm and relaxed for so much of the day. I have so much to be proud of. I invested so much energy into being my best self today. The result is not important. The Chovos HaLevavos says that Avodas Hashem is made up of three parts. Number one, wanting to be good, being committed to doing the right thing. Number two, deciding or choosing to do the right thing. And number three, doing the action. Chovos HaLevavos says that the first two parts, being committed to doing the right thing and choosing to do the right thing, are within our ability. It's in our control. However, in Shaare B'Tachon it says that the last part, doing the action, the outcome of the three parts, of the first two parts, of wanting to do the right thing and choosing to do the right thing, it's not in our control. It's in Hashem's hands. Many times we have the best intentions, and it just doesn't work out. If we do our best, Hashem does the rest. We need betachon that Hashem should allow us to see the results that we want. But as long as we're doing our best, as long as we're trying, as long as we want to do good, as long as we decided to do the right thing, then that is success. If you only acknowledge the results and not your effort, your nefesh is going to be very unhealthy. And that's going to play itself out in very damaging thoughts. We can either think thoughts that build and strengthen our emotional health, or chas v'shalom, thoughts that destroy and ruin our emotional health. Who put these thoughts in our heads? Are we born with them? No, we're not. We were programmed to think the way we do from our parents, from other people in our lives when we were growing up, from the school that we attended, from the community that we grew up in or we live in currently. We are like computers. We work according to the program that was installed in us. We have to evaluate, is that program installed in us helping us achieve what we want in our life? It's up to us to reprogram our thoughts so that they can help us be our best. And our thoughts, the stories that you tell yourself in your brain, the program that you have in your mind, I term this program as a brain story. The thoughts that you think about every experience that you have is your brain story. It's the story that you're telling yourself subconsciously in your mind. And those stories are either going to help you feel better or feel worse. They're either going to help de-intensify your emotions, or they're going to help escalate your emotions, make you more intense. For every negative experience that we have, whenever there's a trigger in our lives, we want to create a positive brain story, a story that's going to help us be our best selves. And we're going to talk a lot in this teleconference about positive brain stories. One way to reprogram our thoughts and to have positive brain stories is to work on emunah and b'tachon. In Mesilas Yesharim, it says, Ha'adam lo nivra ela lesaneg al Hashem. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro says, Zecher Tzadok Livracha says, a man was created to enjoy. Lesaneg. Then it goes on to say, al Hashem. A person cannot enjoy this world without relying on Hashem. Without Hashem in our lives, we can't enjoy. There are so many fears and worries and anxieties. A person can't live with menuchas and nefesh and simcha without being mechazik himself in emuna and betachon and relying on Hashem. Hashem wants us to trust Him and rely on Him. Hashleich al Hashem yahavcha v'hu yichakalecha. Throw onto Hashem your burden and He will sustain you. He wants us to stop worrying about fears and pressures and challenges, and He wants us to rely on Him. That's how we can be happy and enjoy this world. The purpose of suffering in this world is to bring us closer to Hashem, to help us be dependent on Hashem, because this is true happiness when we depend on Hashem. This is a very famous verse that the Gemara says that the Avos didn't have children because Hashem wanted their tefillas. He wanted connection with them. He wanted them to live a life of simcha. When we are close to Hashem, we live with Hashem, we can truly be happy. And that goes for this world and the next. So having emunah and betachon supports our emotional health. Now we're going to talk about the habitual ways that we think, our damaging thoughts, our damaging brain stories that ruin our emotional health. And these are called cognitive distortions. And I'm also going to tell you about how to replace the negative brain story with a positive brain story, one of emunah and betachon, and empowering, helpful, effective thoughts. Cognitive distortions are bad thought habits, and they fall into three categories. Blaming yourself or blaming others, and the inability to handle and tolerate disappointment. Now, cognitive distortions are characterized in many different ways, but generally, these are the main ones. And this is something, cognitive distortions are actually worked, this is a psychotherapy term, and it's in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, that's one thing that they target is cognitive distortions, bad thought patterns. So the first cognitive distortion is overgeneralizing. Overgeneralizing means that you target single negative episodes as a never-ending downhill pattern. You say, because you had one bad experience, that everything is bad in my life. That this is not just one setback. This is like, I'm just never going to have it together. I'm always going to feel this way. Thinking never and always is overgeneralizing. You're thinking that your whole life is bad because of one incident. So what positive brain theory, what do you want to replace this bad thought pattern with? You want to think that you're going to try not to overreact. That you tried your best. It wasn't the shot for this to work out. But you're proud of your effort. It's one little incident. It's not your whole life that's terrible. It's one little incident. It's one little setback. One little disappointment. And the reason you had this disappointment is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving you an asayim and that you can pass this test. The next cognitive distortion is all or nothing, black and white. Now, if you're a perfectionist, then watch out for this one. So there's two types of perfectionists. There's one person, there's a perfectionist that's very, very hard on herself or himself. And then there's also a perfectionist that's hard on themselves and also everyone around them. So a perfectionist is someone that has this cognitive distortion, all or nothing, black and white, which means I have to look perfect. My house has to be perfect. My children have to be perfect. I will not accept anything less than 100%. If it's not perfect, then it's not good. So you could be very not forgiving. You can hold yourself to very unrealistic expectations. And as I said, often a perfectionist will hold others around her to unrealistic expectations and will be, you know, and won't be accepting of others around her. Because she's not accepting of herself. It's unless it's perfect, it's not worth noticing. So what do you want to say instead? In your mind, you want to tell yourself, only Hashem is perfect. Perfection doesn't exist in this world, and I'm okay with not being perfect. And I'm okay with accepting everyone around me with their imperfections. And if someone wants to judge me for my lack of perfection, then they have a problem. That's something wrong with their midos. If something is not perfect, it's still worth noticing. I'm happy with a little bit of something. I'm happy with some of something. It doesn't have to be everything or nothing. It doesn't have to be perfect. The next cognitive distortion is minimizing the positive. What that means is you're invalidating positive experiences by saying, nah, that wasn't so good. And people have this attitude about life. Nothing ever is positive or too positive. They always find ways to minimize the positive experience. So if they had a good day, they can't say, I had a really good day. They'll say, it's only temporary. Something's going to go wrong very soon. Or for some reason, the good doesn't count. And the reason that some people live like this and they think like this is because it takes away their responsibility from their mental and physical health. Because they're always a victim. I'm never happy because my life is never perfect because even the good isn't good enough and because for some reason this good is not good, right? They're minimizing whatever positive they're experiencing. Nothing is good, so that's why I'm reacting like this. So that's a victim mentality, right? Like, I can't react with dignity or with respect because of everything else in my life. So what do you want to do to replace this cognitive distortion of minimizing the positive? You want to notice the good in your life, and you want to be grateful for every little bracha in your life. Every time, even if something's a little bit good, you want to celebrate it. You want to, you know, this is the attitude of a Yiddish person, right? Just grateful for every breath we take, for every little bracha in our lives. The next cognitive distortion is maximizing the negative. That's ruminating and thinking very deeply about negative experiences. You ruminate, you think over and over again about the negative experience, and you attribute a lot of negativity towards your negative experience. You hold on to bad memories. But what can you do to replace this? You can tell yourself, what did I gain from this hard experience? This experience was an assignment from Hashem for my growth. It was for my benefit. So instead of thinking deeply about negative experiences and feeling the negativity over and over again, we can try to get ourselves to a place of, what can I take away from this? Because this negative experience was for my good. So even the negative experience can... you can create positive associations to that negative experience. The next cognitive distortion is thinking about the past, the future, living in your fear or your anxiety. It's not living in the moment. Your head is full of thoughts about what you're worried about the pain, about the past. You don't have a healthy sense of optimism. You think that every possible thing could go wrong. You think that somehow, by thinking about everything that could go wrong, that you're in control. So you want to be mechazik yourself in betachon and emunah, and you want to try to live in the moment. You want to try to only think about the present, to tune into what's going on around you. And we're going to talk more about this. So, Imritasam, next class, we're going to finish talking about cognitive distortions. We're going to talk about what to do, how to help yourself out of a cognitive distortion when you have a bad thought habit. We're going to talk about nurturing our guf, what that looks like, and how nurturing ourselves contributes to having harmony in your home and in within you and in your relationship, in your marriage.
At times we feel lost in a world of disillusion, a world so unclear, full of confusion and fear. All the hardships that surround us and the challenges that face us, where to turn for guidance we yearn. My friend, you're not alone. He is with you. He is right here. Talk to Hashem. He's with you. Take his hand and hold on tight. Hold on tight. Pour out your heart to our Father. Talk to him from your heart.